Long commutes cost you money and may even suck the life out of you. This is the complaint from some urban dwellers in Beijing. According to a recent report, Beijing wakes up first among all cities in China. Many Beijing residents start their morning commute at 5 a.m. and some call it a day at 3 a.m. So you get home when it's 3 a.m. in the early morning, and they are exhausted as they reach their destinations. So let's have a look at this new report and look at the commuting situation for Chinese people with Beijing being the capital, and a lot of statistics seems to show that it ain't a happy journey.
It sounds really painful. So after I read the report, I feel I'm quite lucky because I just live next to a radio station, so I don't need to suffer from such a long journey. So, but I think many people who are living and working in Beijing have a different story from me. So this is according to Alipay, because they recently released a report named as Analyzing Chinese People's Nightlife in Figures. So in this report, they noted that people in Beijing, they start to hail a taxi at 5 a.m., and which is the earliest in the country. And also every morning, lots of people have already woken up before dawn and set out for their work from places like Shahe, Tiantongyuan, Yanjiao, Yizhuang, Pingguoyuan, or Beianhe, and so on. Usually these places are located in the fifth ring in Beijing, so it requires a long journey to the downtown area. And also in 2018, Chinese cities commuting research report showed that it's been said the average commute time in Beijing ranks the longest among other major cities in China. And also according to big data collected by Baidu Maps, the average one-way commute in Beijing is 13.2 kilometers and takes 56 minutes on the road.
Wow, so that's on average.
Yeah.
And it's safe to say that most Beijing people that need to travel to work, you'll need to spend about an hour on the
road. And this is just one way. And usually if you make it like commute time, it will be doubled.
Yeah, both ways. When you go to work and come home. And I think I do fall into that category.
Really? How's your commute time?
Okay, well, sometimes I take the subway, sometimes I drive. And in a way, luckily, I suppose, that where our work place is located is actually a little bit further out from the city center. And I live in more of the center area. So when everybody's coming into the city center, I'm actually going out. So in a way, I'm really lucky in that sense. So I don't get stuck in traffic for too long, and my driving experience isn't too bad, but it is a long distance though. It's more than 17 kilometers one way.
Wow.
Yeah. But I can make it within an hour, and if I take the subway, it's of a similar time actually, because I need to walk from home to the subway station, and that's quite a walk. So that's really, really annoying me. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, I'm even one of the lucky ones that at least I reach the average. When I hear these horror stories that my peers need to go through, that sometimes it's almost 2 hours of a one-way commute. And just think about all that time. I don't want to say wasted, but you are forced to spend on commute.
Well, this topic really hits a sore spot with me because prior to CRI, I used to do corporate training. And I had to travel all over Beijing for work. For example, in the morning, my appointments were in the morning. And sometimes it would be a 10 o'clock start. Well, I would have to leave my home around 8 or a little bit earlier to get there on time. So it would be very easy, very common for me to take 2 hours to get to my appointment. And then there was the next appointment that I had to go to that was way on the other side of town, in the Shiarchi area. And my first appointment would be in the Wangjing area.
Wow.
So if you look at the subway map, it's clear across town. So and on average, I would have 3 classes a day. So I would have to travel very far, 1.5 to 2 hours per appointment. So my commute time every day was pretty rough. It was around 5 to 6 hours a day. So I can totally understand the Beijing life in terms of commuting, and it is not fun. It's a huge segment of your day just gone. You have to just mentally check out to be able to withstand this type of schedule.
Yeah, but here's a question. Why do you think that it's Beijing that we're suffering so badly when it comes to spending many hours on the road?
It's a really good question. I think this has a lot to do with this gigantic metropolis. It's just growing and it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think with any city, you're going to have this issue in terms of traffic. And, on stateside, notably New York is also suffering this type of condition as well in terms of commute times. The average New Yorker's work week is about 49.1 hours long, according to a new study conducted, a couple years ago. And it's not because of work necessarily, it's because they spend about 6 hours commuting, in a week.
So 6 hours commuting in a week, so 5 days.
Yeah, roughly 5 days, six hours. And that depends on where you live in the city. There's people who commute actually a lot more. So according to a New York City comptroller, whose office released the report that analyzed, commutes in the United States cities, this means employees in the Big Apple are getting paid less than it appears on an hourly basis because their commutes are significantly greater than anyone else in the country. And that's in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, New Yorkers spend on average 2 hours more a week commuting, more than full-time workers in the 29 next largest U.S. states. So in New York, predominantly, it's the commute time is the worst in any other state in the U.S.
That's interesting. And I think when you look at why people are spending so much time on the way to work, on the way to go home, it has a lot to do with where you live. Mm-hmm. And in the old days, or in Huangshan's situation, which I am very jealous of, that you live so close by to work. And that is definitely an advantage. I think many people would tick that off the advantage list when they're looking for work, and that could be one of the primary reasons why somebody decide to join a company these days. And when you look at developed mega cosmopolitans like New York, London, Tokyo, these places, often people decide to live in the suburban area or in a satellite city that is quite a bit away from city center. And sometimes when you look at their address, it's a different state. And I have some friends that live in London, college friends, and they may be working in the city center in the financial city, but they would actually spend an hour on the train as they live in a small town that's close to London, and coming to work through train is what they do every day. And increasingly we're seeing that in Beijing as well, as not everybody can afford to live next door or to the office. And some people actually live in Tianjin.
Yes, and take the City Express, and it's a bullet train. It will take only like half hour from Tianjin to Beijing, because if you live in the sixth ring or even further, or even in the fifth ring, like it may take you more than an hour to get to the downtown Beijing. So sometimes people tend to live in Tianjin or a place called Wuqing that is in the middle of Tianjin and Beijing. And if you take the city highway, and it will only be maybe 20 minutes to Beijing. So some people choose to live there, and the housing price is way cheaper than you rent a house in Beijing.
Yeah.
I would imagine that, you know, there's two reasons, and one is definitely economical reasons. You're going to pay a lot less to live away from the city center. But I also feel it's a psychological issue as well. I think that people who live further away, they want to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city, because in the city, there's just so many people around, you feel cramped. And I feel everyone has this natural inclination to just have a little bit of personal space and, you know, be with their family and just have enough, you know, space to stick your elbows out a little bit, you know. But when you're in a big city, it's tough. You know, you have people with you everywhere you go, and, you know, you're on the subway and you can't even move your arm up in the train because there's so many people, especially if you travel during a rush hour. So it's just, you know, the city brings a different nature to it, you know, and it generates the most in terms of salary, but it's on the other side. It's a really tough place to be. I feel.
You make a really good point here, Tony. And I'd say that actually, the Beijing layout is peculiar, I guess. So we have ring roads.
Yes.
So, you know, by definition, it's like a round road. And then the subway subway stations and a lot of the office areas, they're all sort of connected by these ring roads. And then you get the third ring road sort of surrounding or hugging the second ring road and the inside, and then you get the fourth, the fifth, and now even get the sixth ring road. So each bigger ring road coincides with the smaller one, and we get these really wide streets in Beijing. That's also something I think local people used to take some pride in, that there's eight lane roads and you can see them often. But there's also the downside to that, which is sometimes it's difficult to cross these streets for pedestrians.
Right.
And also when you want to cross that ring road sometimes, you need to sort of circumvent and do a detour in a long distance just to get from A to B, when the direct distance is actually rather short. So these are some of the problems I think we're still getting the feel of, and that's because when urban planning happened ages ago, these issues were sort of overlooked.
This takes me back to my experience when I had to commute a lot for work, and taking a car or a taxi was just not possible. It wasn't plausible if I wanted to be punctual, because there's so many cars and vehicles in this city, and I believe it's similar in all really developed metropolises like Beijing. So this subway system is just, it's imperative that you take it if you want to be on time and if you want to get where you want to go. And let me start by saying I really like the Beijing subway system. I'm from California, and we really don't have a subway system at all. So it's really nice to be able to get on the subway and to make it where you need to go on time. Even though it does take a long time to get there, it's still really nice to have, and it's really up to date. And, you know, if I've traveled to a lot of countries and comparing the Beijing subway to other places, it's really nice. I mean, compared to places that I've been, so it's I like it. I know that it's in terms of commuting, and it's inconvenient for everyone, but it's really nice to just be somewhere where you can get where you need to go and not have to be in traffic. If, you know, like LA, for example, you're going to be waiting on the freeway for a few hours, and it's really tough to be punctual in LA.
Oh, well, if we look at the different modes of transportation, and of course, everybody wants to get to our destination ASAP, then we've got the private car, public transportation, and that includes subway and bus, and cycling or Huangshan. What do you think is an ideal way of transportation and to save some time
For me, because I can't drive, so the best transportation method for me is subway. I think that's, like Tony said, it can keep you punctuate. But it also has some weak points. So many people complain about subways. First of all, it's overcrowded. Like, you couldn't do anything during the commuting hours because it's overpacked and you couldn't, like, move your arms. You can just stand there and that's it.
And sometimes you can't get on the train that you want to get
on. You need to wait
on.
For the another
right.
one.
You got to wait sometimes two or three trains.
Yeah, I think that is one thing because of the density of subway stations, because people say the density of subway stations in Beijing is not enough, and also is far away from reaching the level of a cosmopolitan city. We have some figures here. For example, Beijing's metro station density per square kilometer is only 0.02. Well, we can compare with Paris, and the figure is 38 times of that of Beijing. And also Seoul is 25 times that of Beijing. So we can see the comparison. And also some people complain, just like He Yang, maybe they are living in the core of Beijing, they're in the city center, but their home is far away from each subway station. Maybe there are 3 or 4 subway stations around them, but it generally takes maybe over 1 kilometer to reach the subway station. So it's not that convenient.
So that is an issue, but I think that is an issue that I don't want to blame on the city municipality, because Beijing is massive and maybe
it's huge.
It's difficult to make each subway station, the distance between each subway station so short. But the problem here is really the last mile issue. So when I get out of the subway, it still takes a while to get home. And now, well, yeah, there are the shared bikes.
Yeah, mobile bikes.
Yeah, that can sort of fill the void, although they're packing up the streets. But anyhow, everything comes... One good thing, always, as it seems, comes with a not-so-good consequence that we also need to bear.
Yeah, when I was training, I did some training for a company in Beijing, and some of my students were actually living far away from the city center here in Beijing. And what a few of them did was they rented a place that was near the city center. So it was about 3 or 4 of them, and they just shared the cost. Even though they had families and a home out in the rural areas, they just, you know, pitched in and they paid for an apartment. That way they could all stay there if, you know, the work got really late and, you know, they didn't want to go home and then have to come back just a few hours later and not be well rested. So this could, you know, this is also, I feel like this is also a good, you know, suggestion for people who do live really far away and are, you know, a little, you know, distraught about the commute time. You know?
So do you think that it should be rent or buy? Of course, everybody's got your own individual situation, and it depends on how old you are as well. Do you have family and all those things? But certainly if we can solve the accommodation situation, then you could be close to work in theory.
I think buying would be a really complicated issue, because if you are on a mortgage, or, you know, you have to, if you decide to leave the company or you move, you know, the situation could be a bit of an issue. So in Japan, I read a article on Forbes about capsule hotels. And apparently there's a lot of people commuting in Japan as well, clear across Tokyo, which can take, you know, a significant amount of time as well. And capsule hotels are blowing up all over. And what it is it's a small little room, like maybe 2 by 3 meters. So it's just enough for you to get in there. And it's a new concept, but you go in and you just rest. There's a bathroom for everyone to use. So it's kind of styled as a hostel. But what it is it's helping people that have, you know, that live maybe 3 or 4 hours away from their job to, you know, save some time. And I believe this could possibly be an industry that can take off in China as well, since a lot of people have this same issue with commuting.
And also, I think renting is more like a good idea because firstly, it's more affordable. And secondly, unlike our parents' generation, we are more flexible of changing a job. So maybe your job location is in different area with the house you bought, then it will face a really awkward situation. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm looking forward to some high technologies. I remember earlier we talked about flying cars, and now Uber is doing research on that part. And also, I think Chinese companies are also taking part in the development of flying cars. Maybe in 10 years, we can see flying cars, and we don't need to suffer from a long commute hours.
Flying cars sounds amazing. It's, you know, when I watch those futuristic films, it makes me feel like we're living in like 2058, you know?
Yeah.
But it sounds like a good idea. I just hope that they could make them green since we're dealing with a global warming issue. So, but yeah, it definitely seems like something that would help a lot of people out in terms of traffic.
Well, the wonders that technology can bring us and the convenience. But certainly, I think for a lot of people now, they're, because of the housing price and because they want to own property. And in China, in the last decade or a bit more than that, actually, with the rising housing price, it's in a way really... in a way forced young people who want to stay in one city to work to really want to purchase as soon as possible because the earlier, the cheaper. But we've had this discussion for a decade now that if you wait, then the housing price might go down, then maybe you just wait a bit longer. But then some people are now trapped in the situation that they need to wait forever if they are still living in these mega cities. So, yes, I think this is one of those pains that urban dwellers need to deal with, especially if you live in the top tier cities in China. Yeah, but actually the government has devoted efforts in trying to make the situation better. Do you think these measures can have an effect?
Yeah, I do think so. I think we may already know that the relocation of city center. So the Beijing government is hoping to help curb the traffic congestions and also make the commute hours shorter by moving some of the government bodies into Tongzhou, so I think that will help.
So then, well, again, some people need to move house.
Oh,
because
yes.
If they
maybe
work
renting
for the government, yeah.
Renting is a better way.
Yeah, that's far away, Tongzhou,
really
from where
away.
We are right
very
now.
Far.
But that's just how big Beijing, a city, is. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back with more discussion.